I like buying as much time as I can lately at the beginning of an episode because I've got nothing. That sweet, free 10 to 15 seconds.
Oh, come on, man. We have the Pro Bowl to talk about. No?
I mean, I know you're being sarcastic. we can do a little Pro Bowl. I watched some. That's certainly what I watched in lieu of the Grammys last night.
I'll put it this way. Jerry Rice is perhaps my favorite player of all time.
Yeah, you are gay for him and San Fran.
Couldn't care less about the Pro Bowl, even if he was the team captain.
My big takeaway was, when the hell did Deion Sanders become an old gray dog? When did he get that, like, this dog is dying in 18 months muzzle?
That is strange, because, you know, black don't crack, right? That's what they say anyway.
It's weird, like black dudes, yeah, and black chicks, they'll age better, but the gray gives it away. Like, a black dude, if he lets all that gray grow in, it's like, why does that young man have an old pappy beard? What the hell? He looks like he scalped Uncle Ben.
Watch it, man. I think people go gray early in my family, so
I got gray patches already. Jesus Christ. I'm starting to get the gray facial hair. I'm screwed.
You going to start dying? You should get into that, man. You're going to do it. You better get into it now.
I do dye the hair.
All right.
I just kind of wait for a bit more to come in, typically.
All right.
Because otherwise I'm like dying, like, you know, a little short lesbian stubble.
Well, we both got the black hair, so maybe we can split a box sometime.
That's what we'll be doing
in our 40s. Yeah.
We need, what, wife swapping? No, we need a do that. You get that just for men. It's a bottle, I want to say, 5 inches tall, 4 inches tall, 2 inches wide, and you use maybe a half inch to cover my little gray patch. It's potent crap.
Yeah, I'll be real. It's going to be another... Talk to me in 3 years. Right now, I don't really need that kind of
thing. Yeah, right now, you're still jet black. You got that Kim Jong-un Korean hair going. You're listening to Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papagiorgio, joined by Howard Flood. The show's website, pfpod.com. Get it? It's like everything shortened down. We're on Twitter, at Papa Football Pod. Please find us on iTunes. That is the best way to locate us and subscribe and do all that good crap. It's what gets us any sort of traction in the podcast community. We really have none. No podcast does, though. I'm not beating us up for that.
Unless
you're Adam Carolla or like another known name, no podcast really gets big.
We definitely need to get famous outside of this and then come back to talk about football.
That's the solution.
That's the goal.
Everyone's like, how do you get a famous podcast? It's like, well, get famous elsewise first and then come back to your podcast. Oh, gee, thanks.
Yeah.
I'll get working on that for the next 15 years. Give me a second. Yeah, so look up Papa's Football Podcast on iTunes and subscribe. And also, if you can, look up Papa's Basement. That's the main show we do.
This episode, though, is the Super Bowl preview.
Super Bowl preview, Pro Bowl recap, I believe some coaching changes.
No Pro Bowl recap.
We can do like 5 minutes Pro Bowl.
Put it at the end. No,
it's the big news.
Oh, it's not news.
Maybe the fact it isn't news is news.
All right, fine.
There you go. Ugh. I out-cunninged you, sir.
All right.
I watched a bit of it. I normally, everyone knows I'm a big football guy. You enjoy football well enough. You're more all sports. I'm just football.
Yeah, you're football only.
So the fact that even I usually don't give a rat's ass about the Pro Bowl, I would like to think says something.
It's nice what they've done to the format, because the old format was not sustainable. You really couldn't have the two conferences pitted against each other in a game that meaningless. Like, there was a little bit of a playground feel to what little I saw yesterday. I mean, there's still this desire not to get hurt, to not really try that hard, but
They switched a couple of things around this year. Like you were saying, it's no longer the best of the NFC versus the best of the AFC. They picked two kind of honorary captains, I believe.
Yes.
Jerry Rice, Deion Sanders. And these guys drafted their teams, almost in a fantasy football style. And they eliminated kickoffs, I think.
Yeah, everybody started at the 25. Every drive started at the 25, so you have to go 75 for a touchdown.
Okay. And from what I saw, it was a better game in terms of what the Pro Bowl has been. There wasn't like an astronomical score. I want to say it ended 22-21. I actually turned it off. I forget whose team was which, but one team was down by 7 and turned it over on downs. Alex Smith failed to get a touchdown on fourth down, shocker. Or just failed to convert the fourth. I think he was like 40 yards out or something. And at that point, I tapped out, and I guess his team came back and won.
I tapped out after the first touchdown pass from Luck to DeSean Jackson, right? That was the first score of the game, I think.
I kind of wandered in and out, I'll be honest. Yeah. True Detective came on. I flipped that on for the duration.
I just think it's too many guys having to substitute in. You don't watch football because you want to see a bevy of quarterbacks rotate. What I want to see is every quarterback has their own team. So this is how I change the format. I like the overtime rule for college. You start at the 25-yard line in your opponent's field. So you get 25 yards to the end zone, and it basically allows you to kick a field goal if you don't actually convert the touchdown. What I like about that possibility for the Pro Bowl is you could have like every Pro Bowl quarterback have a team surrounding them, and so then you have like these games within a game. You could have every quarterback with their teammates trying to win head-to-head matchups in a bracket for like an all-day event, and it's sort of an exhibition, and it really just doesn't need to be a football game, because to me, it gets weird when you start watching multiple quarterbacks playing for the same team. I forget what I'm watching. This is why the new format, as much as it's improved from the old one, still won't work. Because anytime you flip quarterbacks on both teams, I'm probably done watching that game. That's usually the sign that the backups are in because it's a blowout, or both starting quarterbacks got hurt and you're going to watch an ugly game. It's not football when you do it the way that they do in the Pro Bowl.
I think it's an intensity thing, to be honest. Football is the one sport where dudes really aren't allowed at the top or even in the middle of the pack of their peers to call it in for even one game.
Yeah.
The NBA, God bless it. Those are dudes that understand it's a bit more of a marathon than a sprint. They'll call it in for, hell, weeks at a time.
Which is why the NBA All-Star Game is probably the best All-Star Game, because everybody knows, don't play defense. Everybody's here to watch us score. This is the one game a year. No coach is going to get that hard on us for not playing D.
Yeah, but it's the NBA is literally what Percy Harvin is doing right now with Seattle. That's almost the NBA model. It's like, well, we had him healthy for like two games during the season.
Yeah.
And we just want him for the postseason. And hell, he got dinged up their first postseason game. So now it's just like, he'll be back for the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And how weird and out of place does that feel in football? But that's just the NBA's status quo. Same with baseball. If a dude really, they just call it a slump in baseball.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. Everyone eats ass for a while in baseball.
Rarely does anybody play wire to wire well. You usually have at least 1 month, if not two, where you just stink. And those are the number three hitters for baseball. So
yeah.
Yeah.
The NFL, you don't get to do that. There's 16 games. That's not a lot of wiggle room, man. You bring it every damn game. And so it's very different to see guys when you know they're not playing at full speed doing football. Because what contrasts it is with zero at stake, with just absolutely nothing to gain by playing, you worry they're going to really hurt themselves. Because even half-ass football, a guy can still land weird and like screw up his leg hardcore.
It has to be nothing more than line drills for the guys in the trenches to me. You just can't do anything else because this is a sport where you only have a narrow shelf life for playing. And so when you're in the trenches, this is a time to maybe do some, one-on-one practice moves. That's it. Like, it's really like drilling during the week when you're getting ready for a game. The Pro Bowl can never amount to more than that to me because you really don't want people hitting each other.
What really hit me, tell me if you think this would work as a format, because I don't think they'd ever enforce it, but I think it's awesome. And it would be the one time you would get a sick competitive game. And I'm telling you right now, this would get ratings out the ass. The entire Pro Bowl comprised of guys who have announced this is their final game. They're retiring. Because watching Tony Gonzalez last night, he was pretty much the only guy out there where I'm like, I care what he does.
Yeah,
I want to see a guy who's literally got nothing to lose do this one last time. He out of anyone, actually has a motivation to have one last spectacular game. This is a Super Bowl. This is it.
Yeah.
Now imagine an entire two teams comprised of this.
At least one team. I think it would be more interesting if you had one team like that and then a bunch of the actual guys that people want to see, because then it creates somewhat of a need for the guys to have the pride to like play up to the level of the guys retiring. Like they would think
so
about
it. So
it
would be the Pro Bowl versus the retiring guys.
Yeah. I think that would create some intrigue.
Like one last game for Fletcher?
I mean, you know, like after the first time where he decked somebody,
yeah,
that guy's going to get up and be like, I didn't like that hit. I'm going to go back at him. Give me another ball. Like, hand me the ball one more time. Yeah. I'm going at London Fletcher.
These are, you think really, like, London Fletcher or Tony Gonzalez gives a crap if they rip both of their ACLs on one play? They're like, what do I care? I've got a year to recover now. I'm just going to be eating food the rest of my fat F life. I don't need my ACLs intact at 100% to walk up and down the stairs of my mansion.
No, I like this plan. I mean, because the one thing about the Pro Bowl that matters is you need to have some sort of all-star selection to highlight who had a great year. Because to me, like, I care about Hall of Fame voting. Pro Bowls matter. Like, getting a pick for the Pro Bowl does matter when it comes to, is this person going to be a Hall of Famer or not? Because you're not always going to be the league leader in rushing yards or passing yards or touchdowns. So what you really need is that confirmation either from the fans or the coaches or other players that you're one of the best that season. To see those, like, awards go down, it really helps guys who never lead the league in a statistical category.
But who did okay, who did pretty well for the year.
Yeah, you want to know that they were probably in the top six at their position that year. I mean, obviously when you start seeing guys who don't have any sort of like league-leading seasons in their career, they're less likely to make the Hall of Fame. But, you know, when you have like a guy like Jerome Bettis who was just making Pro Bowl after Pro Bowl, it's hard not to notice that.
Not a bad argument, not going to lie. I hadn't thought of that angle.
It's just, you don't need the game. You just need the election. That's why it's important. You need to know, like, who had a great year. And, I mean, what you're saying, it's, I think you can still do that. You can, like, just have the roster set as far as who
gets to show
up. Don't
have the crappy guys. Don't have the crappy guys who are retiring. Like, the dude who's washing out of the league after 18 months. I don't give a crap about that. Just, like, the old-timers who have had, like, storied 14-year, 12-year careers.
What'd be interesting is anybody who's ever made a Pro Bowl, like, because you could start this now, anybody who's ever made a Pro Bowl, like, at least one, gets to play in that game. If you've, like, done it once,
I guess if you're out of the league, yeah, I don't know, then it could be a bunch of dudes really injuring themselves. That would be hilarious if the 1 year out of the league was enough to completely get their body unacclimated to the game.
Oh, no, I'm not talking about that.
De-acclimated, rather.
I'm talking guys who are retiring. Can play in that game if they've made at least one Pro Bowl during their career. If they actually earned a berth.
Oh, I thought you were talking like John Elway slapping on a leather helmet.
Heck no.
Being like, screw this, I'm going back in. Put me in, coach.
No, no, no. I'm talking about like if you're going to let guys come in their final year when they retire, they got to be decent. You can't just have like some guy who's been third string his whole career and been able to play for 10 years. That's no good.
All right, well, I guess we can bang out the rest of the Pro Bowl talk. That was about it. I don't know which there's team Sanders versus Rice.
Whatever. I don't even care who won. Do you?
Me neither. No.
Yeah.
I think Rice won, but who cares?
Who cares?
Who cares? We'll just say who cares.
They could have actually got on the field and gone head to head like Dion had suggested, and I still wouldn't care because it's two guys who are shells of them, their former selves. I don't want to see that. That's sad.
Shall we talk Super Bowl then?
Please. Please.
You want to? I mean, we got other things. We have not yet learned the Ravens offensive coordinator. It's Gary Kubiak versus Kyle Shanahan at the time of this recording.
Are you serious?
I find that 100% fascinating, and I'm 100% serious.
Oh, I think Kyle Shanahan is just...
Michael Scott, don't call me Shirley.
The fact that Kyle Shanahan's on the list, I hope that's just a way to get Gary Kubiak to accept a smaller salary. I really hope that's why he's on that list.
I find it hilarious if Shanahan got the shot. I just hope he doesn't do well. But then again, he's away from the Redskins, so
he
probably
ever
would.
Done well.
Wasn't he great in Houston?
Shanahan?
Kyle Shanahan, yeah.
I don't know. I don't.
I thought before they suckered him away, like the Texans had a really good offense that year.
I think more of that's attributable to Gary Kubiak, isn't it? Wasn't he under Kubiak at the time then?
He was.
Yeah. No, man. It's all about Kubiak. Like, don't get me wrong.
I don't know.
He left
and their offense has been bad ever since.
I wouldn't say it's bad. Yeah, all right, to be fair.
Hadn't been great.
We'll see. Maybe I'm just too hard on Kyle.
I remember that year, the final year before they pulled away Kyle, when Mike Shanahan got the Skins job and he took his son, I think a lot of us were blinded because it was like, hey, we should have just said he's taking his son. Sound every alarm ever.
Right.
But he had a killer season as Houston's offensive coordinator that year. Like, they had great offensive numbers. I think that was, wasn't that like the first year they maybe took a game from the Colts or something like that?
And okay, like, I mean, I've been hard on Kyle all year, and I think now that you mention it, I look back at this season when Gary Kubiak got fired, and I felt like some of the play calling was at fault for Schaub's high interception rate. I didn't feel like it was all Schaub. So I do think maybe there is something to be said that Kyle Shanahan knows how to call a game better than Gary Kubiak, possibly. Because I just, there were a couple games early this season I'd watch Houston basically drop into a formation where it was predictable that Schaub was going to try to throw it to a tight end in the middle of the field, and he gave up a couple pick sixes that way. It was...
I had that sick, what was that, four-game streak?
Yeah, I mean, it was, there was something wrong with the play calling. It wasn't just Schaub.
Or no, it was a four-game streak of pick sixes.
Pick
it wasn't
sixes.
Just interceptions. Yeah,
no,
yeah.
It was pick sixes, so... You can't just blame Schaub. You really have to blame the person who's not seeing that D's are really keying in on his hot read. So you just blitz the guy and you know where he's going to go with it. Like, it's that should never... You should pick that up after the first or second time that happens. So,
Okay, and we have, of course, the new Browns coach, Mike Pettine.
I don't know who that is. Tell me more.
He was like the defensive coordinator, I think, for the Bills.
Wow.
Yeah.
They're really inspiring confidence in the city of Cleveland with this hype.
I was going to say, I don't remember the Bills being any sort of shutdown unit.
And it's not like that guy was busy getting ready for the playoffs for the last month and a half when other teams were hiring their coordinators because they already picked up their head coaches.
I don't remember much mention of Mr. Pettine in any other coaching vacancies. I don't think he came up much.
I mean, over or under 4 wins for that team next year.
I'm still shocked they fired Rob Chudzinski.
Yeah, I find that very upsetting that he did not get another year because they didn't do that poorly this year, I feel.
Dude, remember Zorn with the Skins? You just took that second year. You're like, screw it. I know this is going to be bad. It doesn't matter.
I don't think it was not the coach's fault for the way that they had been using their drafts. You know, that's Holmgren's fault. I mean, I guess he's Holmgren's guy, but that doesn't mean he's a bad coach. Holmgren knew how to coach. I just don't think he really knew what to do.
Chudzinski was, he wasn't picked by Holmgren, was he? Was he like already in the organization and promoted from within?
I'm not sure. I thought he might have had a role in his selection.
I don't recall.
But at any rate, I just think like that guy deserved a second year because now that you're going to have a completely new system potentially brought in. I don't know if they're keeping any of the old coordinators, but I do like what the Redskins are doing, where they're keeping the defense in because even if you don't like the defensive coordinator for the Redskins.
Too much upheaval.
It's allowing an offensive-minded head coach to focus on the offense while somebody else maintains the defense from last season. I think it's a smart move. And if the defense stinks next year, it's not the head coach's fault. It's the fault of the defensive coordinator. And by that point, the offense should be developed enough he can actually help the new defense coordinator adjust. I just think that was a smart move for the Skins to keep good old what's-his-name?
Oh, Hazlitt.
Yeah. I think it was a smart move.
I hadn't really analyzed it to that depth. When you put it that way, it's slightly reassuring. I still expect nothing from them, but you never know.
It was a weird hire to me to have Gruden come in, but I think if you're going to have him come in, it would have been a nightmare to bring in a new defensive system because he would have been playing catch up on that side of the ball.
I'll still never get over why they screwed with what was a very effective 4-3 unit, and Shanahan came in and was just like, you're 3-4 now.
Yeah.
And now we have personnel needs on offense and defense. I don't get it. They were, despite whatever the hell the offense was during those years, they were a pretty damn solid. I'm not going to say like they're in the top 3 of the league ever, but I always thought they were like a top 10 unit. Why did you feel the need to screw with that?
I'm a big believer in don't fix what ain't broke. I mean, they stuck Ray Lewis in a 3-4 for a few years. And, they finally realized that was an idiotic move. Like the way that they reformed that defense in those intervening years. Yeah, no, he went on national TV for one of these interviews where he was just like, what kind of moron?
One of two middle linebackers instead of the middle linebacker?
It's the greatest middle linebacker of our generation.
Yeah.
Stuck in a 3-4. Get out of here.
That is weird. God, I didn't know that. I forgot that they did 3-4 for a bit.
And, like, they didn't even notice till he complained about it on national TV. Like, he finally just let loose.
Yeah.
I'm sure he said something to them privately before, but it took a while for him to say, you know, this is dumb.
Well, say what you want about Haynesworth, but wasn't that one of the issues? Like, he was huge on 4-3, and then Shanahan comes to town, and is like, oh no, we're going to become a 3-4 and you're a nose tackle now.
It's disrespectful for a player who was of Haynesworth's caliber at that time to basically say you're a distraction so that other people can make plays. Nose tackle stinks, dude.
You're just there to suck up two guys on the line.
And people are just trying to break your knees every play. Like, anytime there's a run play, it's like, go after him. It sucks. It's a terrible position.
Yeah, Jesus.
And so you don't have any back.
For what it's worth,
Cofield
has done fine. That's like one of the best free agency signings they've made in a long time.
Yeah, it's just you have to. It takes a special player to play nose tackle. It really does.
Yeah, you just do not give a crap about glory.
And I think Albert Haynesworth, when he became, what, the highest defensive paid player in the league?
Yeah, he's like, all I want to do is sack.
You need a second defensive tackle to complement that person along, like, your front four. You're building a front four that's just trying to get to the quarterback.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, I just clog up the middle. Yay.
Yeah. I do nothing elegant whatsoever.
Very disrespectful to Haynesworth, though. I mean, he really could have done more to look better than he did in the whole process.
No, and he came out and played for, what, the Patriots and the Bucks and is now out of the league.
Yeah, I think
he took his skins money. I was like, meh.
It's hard to get motivated to play like at that high level in pro football. I'm not going to hate on a guy for just being like, this is hard. I'm done. You know, I don't like getting crushed every week.
That is me within 30 seconds of waking every morning. Ugh, this again. Didn't like it yesterday. Doubt today is going to be any good. All right, buddy. Let's talk Super Bowl.
Yep, they're less than a week away from the season finale.
We are currently in the midst of one hell of a cold streak, a cold snap.
Oh, just within the Washington, D.C. area?
Yeah, but it's up and down the East Coast.
This is going to be some tough conditions potentially in New York on Sunday. So we'll see what the weather brings us as far as entertainment.
Yeah, I think the league is very worried that the weather is going to have any sort of influence in what's coming in terms of the gameplay. The theory behind the Super Bowl always was we're going to try to get it as weather neutral as possible so people can't cite the elements as having a factor in the game. I don't see how both teams getting hit by the same bad weather influences anything.
I'll say this. With the matchup we have, if the Broncos lose, people will immediately ask, is it because Denver plays the type of game that doesn't work well in cold? So even if it doesn't snow, I mean, it is difficult to catch a football in extremely cold weather. So if the temperature is just low enough...
feels like a brick hitting your very sensitive cold hands.
Now, when most people look at the comparison of Russell Wilson to Peyton Manning, the first thing you got to look at is like their salary cap number. Obviously, that doesn't represent...
I thought you were going to say Jimmy the Greek and go skin color.
Oh, no. I was just going to really talk about the key to the offense for Seattle is Marshawn Lynch.
That's it. The more I watch Russell Wilson, I think he's been figured out as the season went on. He as a running threat isn't that great anymore, and it's really Lynch. It's really look at our sick defense and look at Lynch.
Well, I mean, Russell plays an interesting game because when he drops back, one of the great things that he does is he buys time, and when he realizes that play is dead, he'll just go for like 1 or 2 yards so that if you drop him back to pass on a first down, he's going to get you 2nd and 8, 2nd and 7. And then like Marshawn Lynch.
10 yards and maybe the risk of a grounding penalty.
Yeah, so instead of losing yards or, yeah, like throwing an incomplete pass, he'll get you positive yards when he drops back and doesn't see anything. That's, to me, the thing that sets him apart from every other quarterback in the league. It's very impressive to me whenever he pulls the ball down and gets 3 yards on a play that otherwise just wouldn't have resulted in a completion. So I really like the way that he plays. I think that he puts Marshawn Lynch in a better position as well, the way that Russell Wilson plays. So I do think that if there's bad weather or if it's just extremely cold, you're going to have a slight advantage to the way that Russell Wilson plays quarterback. Whereas if you put this into a warm weather position, I don't think people would be expecting the air game to be the way that Seattle would win. They'd really just hope that Peyton Manning played into their defensive scheme. I'm concerned that we're going to see a cold weather game where Peyton's actually making the right throws. It's just guys are dropping balls. That would be the worst possible thing for the league this weekend.
Which happens, I'm going to say, more often than it should with that Broncos team, as is. Like, Peyton's numbers are sick, and they would be even sicker. Like, I've watched a lot of the Broncos lately. Obviously, we all have, watching postseason ball.
Mm-hmm.
They're good for 3 drops a game of very catchable balls.
Fortunately, Denver is a cold place, too, so hopefully they've grown accustomed to catching balls in winter weather, and it's just something that they do even in warm weather where they're just a little bit get a I think their receivers do get a case of the dropsies. So.
It's kind of messed up, though. Just to give you an indicator of what the weather is this week, Denver is having an outdoor practice today because the weather is good today, quote unquote. And do you know what the weather is in New York right now? I'm going to look at the app and get the answer to this. And oh, come on, please have an answer for me. It's currently 21 in New York. Yeah. And that's considered balmy. Like, I was outside and it's 30 where we are.
Yeah.
And Steve, the engineer, was outside having a cigarette because that's what Steve, the engineer, does. And he was like, yeah, I'm enjoying it while I can. This is nice and warm. That's how crapped upon we have been lately.
It's been super cold, yeah.
So when they go out, what did we determine what the weather forecast was for Jersey? Did you manage to punch it up?
No, I didn't punch that up yet.
Okay.
I do know that we're expected to have over a 30-degree swing today in D.C. It's supposed to get up into the 40s and then drop below 10 at a certain point.
Yeah, it gets nuts, and it's going to stay that way the rest of the week. Okay, so currently New York, right now, according to the Weather Channel, is actually 41. The app said 20. It might have been a little off. It goes to 18, 27, 28, and then over the weekend, we're at 40 for Sunday.
Okay, well, that would be
they
good
look
if that actually
lucky.
Happens.
Yeah, that is the warmest. Oh, okay, Saturday is 46. Woo-hoo-hoo! 46, Howard.
That's actually good football weather, though. I mean, when you run outside of lunch.
Oh, yeah, you want to be cool.
That's good. That's a good temperature.
If it stays at 39 or 40, guess what, Goodell? You pulled it off.
Man.
You got
They're
lucky.
They're never going to do it again, though. This really was just...
Au contraire. Au contraire. If it goes okay, they have already said that Baltimore, Washington, and I'm trying to think who else is getting in on it and fighting like that.
Washington is such an awful place to have a Super Bowl.
But it can handle it. We have more than enough hotels. Literally, Green Bay cannot handle it.
Right.
You'd be sleeping in barns.
Right.
Baltimore and D.C. can more than handle it.
Yeah, I think Baltimore would be more likely to have the resources to keep the roads clear somewhat. I mean, they really don't do a great job, because I live in Baltimore. They don't do a great job on snow clearance, but that's mostly in the crummy parts of the city, such as the neighborhood where I live. So
yeah,
I think the Inner Harbor and like all the places that rich people would stay from out of town if they were coming to the Super Bowl, like that'll be fine. But you have a fair number of people with some money in Baltimore. And
well, they get off their asses if the Super Bowl was in town, too.
And I think they get snowplows coming through their neighborhoods. I think that's how it works in Baltimore. But yeah, no, like Baltimore Inner Harbor would be dope. I mean, going to Atlanta, Maryland outside of D.C. for a Super Bowl sounds horrible to me. Absolutely horrible.
I mean, the traffic would not be pleasant.
No,
there's very little mass transit that feeds to it.
I think they should call the Baltimore Super Bowl. Like,
for those not in the area, Baltimore Stadium actually is in what, the southwest corner of the city? Like right when you enter, it is inside. Atlanta, Maryland, 10 miles outside D.C.?
Yeah, I think from your house, because you live on the other side of the Beltway from Lanham in Redskins Park, wouldn't it roughly take about the same amount of time to get to Redskins Park versus the Ravens Stadium, M&T Bank?
No traffic from my front door, Redskins Park. 50 minutes, Ravens 1 hour.
It's not much further, man.
No.
And you get to go to a place that's fun all around it, as opposed to this is the ballpark. And
it's
that's
strip malls all around Redskins Park. It's nothingness. I have to service like effing baby gaps that are 2 feet from the stadium. It's the stadium and then just houses around it. Baltimore is like city. Around his stadium.
Now, I'm not saying that the Inner Harbor is like the Vegas Strip, but it has that feel of, hey, this is a place to come and like let your hair down, have a little fun.
You're not going to, you go to Redskins Park, it's like, oh, this is Best Buy.
Yeah, totally.
That's great. I have Best Buy, and we can eat at Noodles and Company.
Yeah.
Woo.
Please don't bring the Super Bowl to D.C. Please do not. But let's look back at the players. Who you got in this game?
If I'm making my pick, it's all weather, but if it stays at 40, I'm going Denver, and I just break it down like this. This is a gross oversimplification. My brain hurts. I don't want to analyze football. When it seems to be two very offensive teams meeting, without fail, it somehow turns into a low-scoring, defensive, grueling affair. Don't know why it works that way. Similarly, when it's two killer defenses meeting, 9 times out of 10, it becomes some kind of offensive like blowout game.
Yeah.
They're always close. And then the third kind is when the defensive team stays defensive, and when the offensive team stays offensive, it's almost always the offense winning.
I disagree with that. I don't think really? That's true. Yeah, I think the defense tends to overwhelm. I mean, recent months have seen a different kind of football being played in the NFL.
Yeah.
So maybe that's right today, but I don't think that's true historically.
I'm not picking any sort of blowout, but I think Denver wins.
Okay.
I think like you might see like 27-23 or something like that.
I'm going to say both offenses struggle in the first quarter a bit.
I think it'll be slow.
Seattle's defensive front four is going to get after Peyton pretty well in the first quarter. I think by the second quarter he'll have made some progress. So I predict they'd have like 10 at the end of the first half. I'm going to go Seattle maybe 6 at the end of the first half. Might be lucky enough to get up to 13, but yeah, it's not going to be a blowout by any means by the end of the first half. Second half, I'm actually going to pick Peyton to continue, not necessarily to struggle, but I don't think he's ever going to crack that Seattle defense entirely. And I think that enough plays are going to be made by Seattle on offense, and they might have some key turnovers in the second half, where I'm gonna say Seattle wins this one. So I don't think either team gets into the 30s. I think it's going to be both teams under 27 for sure. I think let's go 24-20 Seattle.
What is the current spread? It's like 2 points Denver, right?
Yeah, I thought it was like a slim lead to Denver. But I'm a big fan of Russ Wilson. I will say this though, I don't dislike Peyton Manning as much as I shit on him on the show.
Uh-huh.
There is a part of me that would be very happy if he won the Super Bowl this year and next year, if only because then he wouldn't go into the Hall of Fame as a Colt. I just think that'll be hilarious for Jim Irsay to just eat shit.
When you get down to it, when you really analyze it, it is something. Oh, by the way, it's 2.5 Denver right now.
Okay.
And it started, I believe, at 1. So it's just slowly pulled more and more toward Denver. I think if you see a warmer weather report, it might actually get to 3 for Denver. That was something interesting brought up. That if Peyton has 2 more good years and the Colts continue to have like early exits in the postseason, what could have been if they held on to that pick, traded down, and like restocked the entire team around him with these young guys?
Yeah.
Who were really talented but cheap for about 4 or 5 years, which coincidentally would have been the duration of Peyton's career.
I really was disappointed in the way that everybody said, you have to take luck, you have to take luck. I was like, why can't ESPN just put one person on that says, you know what you do? Simple old adage. One in the hand is worth two in the bush. And you know what? You got a pretty good quarterback right now, and I don't care how slam dunk a pick Andrew Luck is. He's not there yet. So just go with the guy who's a proven winner in the NFL and stick with him. Worry about who's going to be your next quarterback when he's actually done with his career. For them to just kind of eject him a little bit early, I know that there were some injury concerns, but Irsay was saying throughout, like, it's not going to be about the injury. For him, it really was, I think, at the end of the day, dissatisfaction with having only one ring up to that point and his belief that Peyton couldn't do it again. I think that's all it was. It's just that the way that Peyton calls a game, he's not going to be able to win another ring.
It just blows my mind. They could have parlayed that first pick. Like, look at what the Rams got for the second pick.
We haven't fully seen yet what they're going to get until this draft.
Yeah. Can you imagine if the Colts were sitting pretty? Like, imagine Peyton on the Colts and they're getting Clowney this year. Just think about it. Just put that out there.
Let me put it this way. With the Rams, so with the number 2 pick overall. Now, obviously, I don't know what the number 1 overall pick is going to be. We'll see who's the number 1 overall pick. But slam dunk, 2 really good receivers coming out of college this year. Kelvin Benjamin and Sammy Hawkins are both going to be baddest receivers. I don't know if they're like number 2 overall type pick guys, but if I'm the Rams, I know for a fact this year I'm getting a great receiver for a receiving core that's been much maligned. It's one of the worst attributes of that team at this point. But that team could get somebody who's going to be a potential Pro Bowl.
They could redskin someone all over again, too.
Yeah, yeah, they could just
do it all over again.
Because both those guys, I think, are going to be great pro receivers, and they're not number 2 overall picks in all likelihood. So, like, they're going to be able to trade down, get another pick, and a great receiver.
Cleveland could easily go, like, ape shit to get Johnny Manziel. And just be like...
Why would they
just be like, hey, we wanted to do this with RG3 2 years ago. Let's go for it.
Dude, watch out for this Teddy Bridgewater talk. Like, within this draft class, he might be like one of the top quarterbacks. But comparing him to recent years, I don't think he's nearly as good. We haven't seen him play yet at a level where we can be confident he's going to be able to make all the reads at NFL speed. That's just like a fact of the matter. He's a roll of the dice. So, anyway, man. But yeah, like let's see what the Rams do with their picks. And
it's just fascinating. It's one of those what ifs, man.
Because they robbed you blind last year too. That's the funny part. Like that team is only going to get better because of that trade.
Yeah, which is hell fine by I think a lot of people because it's great to see someone else who can kick some ass in the NFC West. It's like let those guys murder each other during the regular season.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens with the Niners next year, honestly, when I look at that team, because they've played in the NFC Championship game 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
Add an extra game for the Super Bowl last year. That is going to be a tired offensive line. I mean, they had, I forget his name, Ayupati. I don't know how to say it. The guy who went down. It might be the right guard.
I don't remember.
They already had
like
one
potty,
series.
Sounds like potty, though, so I'm laughing.
They already had one serious injury on the front line, that offense, for in the final game of the season this year.
Yeah.
So
not just that. Isn't Gore 30? Isn't he like at the magic age?
Yeah, so it's going to be tough to see him continue beyond next year at a high level, and I'm a little worried about his workload in the last couple of years.
Hell, who knows what he does next year? Much less,
I mean,
beyond it.
I really hope he has one more year in him, like one high.
Me too. He's one
year.
Of those guys I don't mind, even though he's not a Redskin or anything like that. He seems like a good enough dude.
Yeah, no, I have a lot of respect for Franco. I thought when he was coming, just to show how awesome I am at picking players out of college and their success rate, I didn't think he was going to be that good coming out of college. I really thought like he had this weird running style, like he would stand further behind the quarterback, and he kept his legs closed when he would start running. It was the weirdest thing I'd ever seen.
Yeah, and yet when Andrew Luck came out, I was like, I think he'll be okay. And look who picked that correctly. So eat some shit, Howard.
I did say RG3 was going to be a better quarterback than Andrew Luck in the league, so we'll see how that works out.
A couple people have said that.
Worked in the first season.
First season, RG3 was captivating.
Although, last I checked, when you watch what Andrew Luck ended the season with in the postseason, I mean, that's a lot of picks, man. That's not really the guy that you want leading your team in the postseason.
Seven picks,
at the moment.
Two games. It was not a number you could ignore.
Yeah. So, I mean, people can keep speculating on what he will do, but at this point, Peyton Manning is still the best quarterback in the league, and he's not playing in the team uniform that so many people thought he would finish his career in.
We'll end it at that. This was Papa's Football Podcast. I'm John Papa Giorgio. That's Howard Flood. At Papa Football Pod, we will be live tweeting the Super Bowl. Please do check that out. pfpod.com, the show's website. Go there for the occasional, we're trying to do the reference, what is it, curated blogging.
We are going to get into that once the postseason starts. Or
is that how it starts?
Postseason finalizes.
Okay, that's fine. We can do the hell out of that. And last but not least, find us on iTunes. Look up Papa's Football Podcast and look up Papa's Basement as well on iTunes. Subscribe and give us 5 stars or 4 if you want to be a prick about things. All right, next episode, Super Bowl wrap-up. We're out of here.